Not the Footy Show.
Show?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 59 of Not the Footy Show. I'm Woz.
I'm Nick.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Hey, what's happening, man? I'm no see.
Mate, you're on the start of the show. What's going on there?
Got the call up. The odds on. Well, the odds against. The first try scorer, McEnany, this week.
Well, the good news is you're on the show. The bad news is, after this little intro, we won't hear from you for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Listeners will just have to wait.
Well, we've got a lot of people on the show this week. This is the Round 9 preview, incorporating, of course, the Anzac Test, City Country. And it's rather topical, the City Country. We've got Daniel Burke from the Northside Hotel down there in Albury. We're chatting to him about the impact a City Country clash has in a country town like Albury.
It has to be massive down there, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'll find that out right after I talk to you here at the start of the show. Then we've got Andy Raymond talking about all the selections for the Anzac test match, and a bit of an idea about what we might be able to do next year for round 9 and basically put the NRL off for a week, and that could be interesting to listen to.
Ooh, wow, that's controversial.
Indeed, and then the other people on the show, Maria Cialis once again, she gives us her New South Wales side. Nathan Ryan from sportsnewsfirst.com.au with a bit of player gossip, who's going where, another view on the Chris Sando defection. We've got young DC Chapman talking about well, the Dragons, as per usual. And then finally, Matty Duncan is on the phone talking about all things Round 8 and giving us a bit of a tip into that All-Stars team from the Moreton Bay region that his radio program ran on their show. So it's a big show, Nick, and when we talk to you next, mate, we'll be doing the tips on Not the Footy Show.
Massive!
Another!
Show?
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup in a deli.
So this is Not the Footy Show, episode 59. I'm Warwick Nicholson, your host. Big show coming up. I hope you stick with us. It's a long one, but pretty sure it's a good one. You can check out more information about Rugby League at wdnicholson.com. That's wdnicholson.com. At the NRL tweet. And of course, we're on YouTube. We're everywhere. On iTunes. Subscribe. Get into it.
Not the Footy Show.
Show. So everybody, we promised a real Albury publican on the show this week, and Daniel Burke has been kind enough to join us from the Northside Hotel in Albury. How you doing, Daniel?
Very well, thank you. Good morning.
Indeed, it is very morning, and the Northside Hotel, you used to be called the Garrison Hotel. Any reason for the change in the name?
We did a lot of renovations to the hotel, changed the layout, got some nice food into the place, and we thought the name change was something that would go along with it.
Yeah, fantastic. So there's something else that's coming to Albury that's rather new. City Country is there on Friday night. How's the town reacted to such a big game of rugby league?
Very positively. The town is very excited about the what we call the big boys coming down to play down here. Most of the towns around Albury also, such as Wagga, Leeton, West Wylong, all those group towns will all be coming down, I'm sure. So the whole area is above.
Now, the country team's already down there, correct?
Yes, they are.
And they're doing stuff in the community. Can you tell us anything about that? Are you here?
Yeah, I think they're visiting a few of the schools in the area. Also doing a sit-down dinner, I think, at one of the big clubs in town here.
Excellent. Now, does that mean there's a massive increase in tourism for you guys? But people obviously talking about rugby league non-stop probably in general, but do you find there's a big lift in the tourism in the area?
Definitely, yep. Yep, we've seen an increase in our motel bookings in the hotel here, and generally I think that people are interested in coming to Albury to have a look at the football and see what the town has to offer.
The other question I got from a perspective, you guys are a border town with old Victoria and Wodonga.
Mexicans, we call them.
The question I've got for you is, what's the dominant code down there, AFL or Rugby League?
I would say AFL, generally, in Albury, Wodonga.
Yep.
But rugby league is still quite strong. We've had a lot of good players come out of the district, if you like. So it's still a fairly strong competitive comp down here.
Okay, now the question from that is the Lavington Sports Ground. When I had a look on Google Maps, it had AFL posts up there. What's the deal with that?
Well, it is an AFL ground. they do have a league side as well. But generally, it's an AFL ground down there.
Okay, but it's a good quality ground. The lighting's good enough.
Yep, very good. Council put a lot of money into it down there, I think, and I'm sure it'll be a spectacle.
Does that mean that, like, the build-up to this kind of game, does the council have to sort of look into this? They apply well beforehand? Has there been, like, have you guys known for how long that the game's going to be down in Albury?
I think that generally there was a bidding process, I would say, or some type of criteria that you had to meet regarding lighting, seating, costing, I suppose, security and all those things that go into a sporting event. And I'd say that probably people in the know have lobbied the ARL and have known probably for a couple of months, I would say.
Okay.
The general public, I would say, would have only known when it was announced.
Okay. Now, Country Rugby League, how important is it to a town like Albury?
Oh, very important. Very important. It brings people in from other towns. It's Albury's a big town. It's 50,000 people in Albury, and I think there's about 45 in Wodonga. So it's almost 100,000 people in town here. So it brings people from all areas around that can meet in town here and play rugby league, AFL, soccer. We have all the sporting, very strong in hockey. There's a great variety of sports down here in Albury.
What's the local team down there?
The local
rugby league team.
The Thunder.
The Thunder. Is that any relation to the Storm?
No, they're not. I think they were previously Panthers, Lavington Panthers, and now I think they've changed their name this year to the Thunder. I think Lavington, the Panthers, have not gone with their sponsorship.
Okay. Now, the big questions now to you, Daniel, are what rugby league team do you support in the NRL?
Mate, I'm a Manly supporter. My father's an ex-Manly player and an international. Played in the 59-60 tour to the UK. Peter Burke's his name.
Oh, there you go. So a very big link.
My brother's a Wallaby, so I'm a very strong rugby league, rugby union background.
Okay.
And a diehard Manly supporter, unfortunately.
The big question is, can they win the comp this season?
I don't think so, mate, no.
No, not, they are playing pretty well at the moment, and young Daly Cherry-Evans and Kieran Foran are doing a good job in the halves.
They're doing a good job, mate. I think we probably lack a little bit of depth in the side. And, you know, we've lost a couple of early games that, you know, we probably could have won. And I just don't think it's our year this year. But, you know, strange things happen in rugby league, of course.
They do. Speaking of strange things, what's your best rugby league memory?
I would think probably the Manly Parramatta Grand Final when I was about 10 or 11, I think, and Neville Glover dropped the ball about 5 metres out from the line and blew a try. I think that was probably my greatest rugby league memory.
So who's your greatest rugby league player?
Very, very good.
Neville Glover by any chance?
You know, there's been a lot of great players. I would probably say Reg Gavner.
Oh, man, wow. Indeed. Now, okay, the last thing I'll leave you with is City Country are coming. I mean, is there any love for the City boys at all in the town?
Oh, there's a lot of love down here, mate. We generally, people in the town here are affiliated with a club, and most of those clubs are City clubs, of course. So, a lot of people from Sydney and those sort of places come to Albury, of course, for a tree change or definitely not a sea change down here, a river change, you might call it.
Yep.
There'll be a lot of support for both sides down here, I'm sure.
Okay, finally, do you want to give a plug to the Northside Hotel? There are a bunch of people that will download this podcast. I know there's a few that are definitely going to Albury for the game, and this will be out on Thursday, so if you want to give your Northside Hotel a plug, go for it.
I certainly will. No, we're the Northside Hotel, Motel. We've got some cheap, clean accommodation, great bistro, $8 meals, all the amenities you can need in a hotel, tab, gaming, and all those other things that hotels have. Come down when you're down for the game. Come in, have dinner before the game, or come back after the game for a few drinks.
Are you the closest hotel to the ground?
We are, yes.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons I chose you guys. And I've got to give Twitter a rap. I asked on Twitter which was the best pub to have a chat about rugby league with, and the Northside Hotel came up trumps. So,
fantastic.
Mate, Twitter is the place to be. Thanks for your time, Daniel, and I hope you guys really enjoy Friday night.
Thank you very much.
So the Northside Hotel Motel is located on the corner of Urana Road and Union Road in Lavington, New South Wales. It's just a town a little bit north of Albury. It's actually the closest hotel you will get to the Lavington Sports Complex. So if you're heading off to the game, make sure you check it out. It's the Northside Hotel Motel in Lavington. Big thanks goes out to Matt Sheridan over there at Coffee Mama. Thanks to Twitter, he was able to give us the tip to check out the Northside Hotel for that interview. My Coffee Mama is located at 5501 Olive Street in Albury. It's just off Dean Street in the middle of town. For the best coffee in Albury, check out Coffee Mama.
Not the footy show.
Show?
Have we talked up Khalifa this week? I don't think so. So here's Khalifa Fee Fi Fo Fum's theme song. Just because we can, people.
Fee Fi Fo Fum. Fee Fi Fo Fum. Hee Hi Ho Hum. Animal Tish Wakatir. What's the Odi Shun Shamahir?
Not the footy show.
Show?
Well, it's been a busy week over there at the Big League offices, and Maria Cialis is on the line.
Hi, how you going?
Very good. Now, you've got two magazines you've produced this week. Do you want to tell us what's been produced over there at Big League?
Yeah, well, we've got the Round 9 issue, obviously, of Big League coming out, and we do all the TAS programs. So, TAS programs, State of Origin, Four Nations, that's all us.
And you're happy you don't have to do a City Country one?
City Country stuff is all covered in Big League this week, so that's really good. We've also got the team list and the team photos of the City Country boys, which is very cute. The City boys have these strange hats on.
Okay.
It's all very good, yeah.
Old school sort of that kind of thing.
No, proper cap.
Oh.
It looks a bit weird, yeah.
Fair enough. Is it a sponsorship thing, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I'll let you be the judge anyway.
Excellent. Quick question about the photos. How many players in the photos aren't actually playing on Friday night?
Well, Michael Ennis is gone.
Yep. You're just having a look
actually,
now,
I gather. I think they're pretty updated. So we've got, I can't believe how many people have been dropping out and coming in. It's been crazy, and it's been hard to keep a track of, hasn't it?
It's been basically Country Origin that's been affected. Because has City lost anybody?
They've lost Michael Ennis.
He plays for Country, though.
Oh, sorry, no.
So City have been all right, and Country have had 1,000 changes. I guess from a big league perspective, you guys, you know, that teams get named on a Tuesday and whatnot. How do you react to the whole idea that after 8 weeks of closely guarded secrecy over player injuries, we suddenly get upfront information on a Sunday night when it's rep season?
It's quite frustrating. It's quite frustrating to get it on, to get changes on a Tuesday night as well. What's quite interesting is all those guys who are supposedly injured have, of course, been named for their teams this weekend.
Knock me over. Wow.
I know, right?
I got a response tweet from the Dragons saying that it was actually about, players being able to train during the week. Now, it's probably the case, and I'm not denying that, but it also... Why doesn't New South Wales just come out and say, look, we're not going to play these guys because they're carrying injuries. They're more than likely going to be in the Origin side. Instead of this assumption that we're just going to accept the fact that, they're too hurt to play on Friday night, yet they're going to line up on Saturday, Sunday or Monday. It's just a little bit, meh.
And I, being a sort of little bit of a privileged position, we sort of already knew that kind of stuff, but I can imagine... regular punters thinking, well, if he's injured, why is he playing why is he playing for, whoever?
And it's not like it hasn't happened before. I think the frustrating thing, I don't really care in the sense that if they don't want to play City Country, then so be it. That's fine. If they're getting held off the Origin, that's fine. I just find the whole players suddenly being told what injuries they've all got on a Sunday night for the first time in 8 weeks a little bit precious. I just go, well, just be honest with us. Say that they can't train straight up off the bat rather than this sort of, he's carrying injury all of a sudden. And I don't know. I just find it a bit frustrating. What else is in Big League?
Our cover story is on Ben Horvey, actually. Probably not the flashiest player at the Dragons, but he's overtaken a bunch of people to be second most capped person to play for St. George or St. George Illawarra.
Wow.
No, St. George, I think. Yeah,
St. George Illawarra, wouldn't it?
So that's pretty exciting for him, and it's quite funny. We've got Wayne Bennett talking about him, and there's a great quote. I mean, I'm not perfect, but something like, he may not be the flashiest player or the player who looks the best when they're running, but I would not have him on my team, and that's very nice, I think.
It is a very nice comment. He doesn't want to pay $550,000 for Chris Sandow instead?
Surprisingly not. and I think Rusty's gone a bit far off the mark there.
To be honest, I don't mind. Good luck to him if he wants to go out and say it like that. I mean, everybody's saying it's hypocritical. Well, everybody who's saying that has probably said the exact same thing about something else. So.
Yeah, I just did the South media release. The Alan Blonde comment is probably the funniest thing.
Oh, it's fantastic because, Alan was known to be a little bit liberal with his spending.
Kind of a bitchy comment too.
I made the comment.
Chris Sandow's still playing for South for the next, 20 weeks.
Well, I made the comment on Twitter this morning. The only way this is a loss for South is if Chris Sandow takes him to a grand final, because everyone forgets that 6 weeks ago we were all saying that Chris Sandow was part of the problem at South. He plays one good month of football and all of a sudden he's like quadrupled his salary. I don't quite understand that. And Parramatta, good luck to him if he pans out. I hope he does for their sake, but. Wow, it's massive overs for a player who I could count on my hands at how many good performances he's had.
Yeah, I think Parramatta are a little bit on struggle street in that respect. I mean, Chris Sandow and Daniel Mortimer will probably be their halves next year, which is
doesn't exactly instill you with too much confidence, does it?
Yeah, no.
I will give him credit. It is an upgrade over Jeff Robson and Daniel Mortimer. The test program, what's in there?
I talked to Jarrell Yaya, who is... absolutely one of my favourite interviewees ever. I just love he's completely laid back and honest and funny, and he was telling me what you know, the reactions of his family when he told them that he was part of the Australian team, and he said, my grandmother was crying so hard I couldn't understand what she was saying, and he had a busted eardrum because his mum was screaming on the other end of the line for about 5 minutes. So, yeah, he's great. And we've got a really good story on Darren Lockyer, and just obviously it's his last test on Queensland soil, and he's always the story, I suppose. A Q&A with Benji Marshall and also Paul Gallen. And just a bunch of other stuff. Jason Nightingale, Bronson Harrison, plus all the photos, plus all the profiles. So if you're at the game, I recommend buying it.
Absolutely. Now, interesting, you mentioned Darren Lockyer. The question I put to you, if you're Darren Lockyer, I mean, you can't obviously imagine what he will do himself, but if you're Darren Lockyer, do you make this your last test match for Australia, or do you see what happens come finals time with the Broncos and then decide then?
Well, I think he said he's going to play Four Nations.
Wow. So he's doing the Mal Meninga thing, where Mal retired in 94 with a premiership, but then went on and played over in the Kangaroo Tour. So that's good. I'm all for him playing more football. I'm still a little bit disappointed that he won't be going around next year, but that's from a purely selfish perspective, not actually recognising that maybe it is time for him to do his body arrest.
Yeah, and I mean, the Four Nations Tour is going to be over in England, so that'll be it. I mean, if you're a footballer, that's a fun time either way, so I think you'd probably want to get that one last trip in.
Excellent. Now, we'll go to your tips before we get to the New South Wales Origin team that you have selected for us for game number one. Friday night, City Country, who do you like?
Country have a really, really good team, so I think they'll win.
Okay, Australia, New Zealand in the Test match?
I'm on the fence a little bit with this, but I just think with Thurston back as well, I think Australia will probably take it out.
Now, the baby Broncos, there you go, there's one count of using that term this week, up against the Melbourne Storm, who could be resting half of their players as well.
There is no way that that Broncos team is going to run out on Saturday. Absolutely no way. And if they're both at full strength, is this the game that the Broncos are finally going to drop? I've been saying that for the past, you know, 3 weeks.
So, yeah, it's a tough one because if it was in Melbourne, you'd probably say Melbourne, no dramas.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
in Brisbane. They're only just up the road from the Test match, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I might just do the safe thing and go for the Broncos because I'm eyeing another upset this weekend. So.
Okay, Titans and Warriors at Skilled Park.
I think the Warriors might win.
Yeah, no Nathan Friend for the
Titans. And they've struggled massively without him, haven't they?
Yeah, he's definitely a linchpin, and you just question why they let him go. I mean, they did sign about 7,000 great players in the wake of letting him go, but yeah, you wonder what the salary cap situation with Nathan Friend was that allowed him to pay so much money for everyone else. Dragons versus Cowboys, this is on a Sunday afternoon at Cogra.
This is probably just, you know, wishful thinking, but I like to see teams that are travelling really well sort of get knocked down a little bit, so I'm going to go for the Cowboys for the upset.
Wow. And Manly versus Canberra on a Monday.
Oh, Raiders, I'm off them completely. Finally. That was it. The final nail in the coffin. So
How many weeks in a row did you tip them and get stunned?
I've tipped them every week bar one, I think.
Yeah.
So I've got one of them right in round one, and ever since then, they've... me down.
They have hurt you. Now, on to the New South Wales Origin Team Selection Special. Nick and I will be filming this on Saturday. We want your team. This is, remember, everybody, this is the team that Maria would pick to win back the series. This isn't her trying to predict necessarily what the selectors will take. So, starting at fullback, who have you got?
I've got Josh Dugan at fullback.
Ooh, and on the flanks?
I've got Brett Morris and Akiyuato.
Ooh, I'm already sensing there's no Jared Hayne. Yes, the centres?
The centres, well, considering Jamie Lyon has once again made himself unavailable for a representative selection. Well, did you hear the story with that? The letter went in too late, and now he's still available, but if he doesn't want to play, then he doesn't want to play.
He clearly doesn't want to play. Laurie Daly said it in a comment the other day that, you know, he got the impression strongly that he was not interested. I guess the hard bit to read on that is that he also, in that same article, said that he almost had to convince him to play last year. So, yeah, I just think you move on from Jamie Lyon.
Yeah, so I've actually got Josh Morris as one of the centres, and begrudgingly picking Mark Gaz now for the other one.
No love for the Gaz. Six and seven?
Jamie Soward and Jared Mullen.
Ooh, no love for Mitchell Pearce.
I don't think Mitchell Pearce is a bad player at all. I just don't think... I think Jared Mullen has been playing better than him.
It's interesting. That halves combination would be two left-foot kickers. The front row.
I've got Tom Leroy-Glas, actually, because I think he hasn't been playing that badly, and, I mean, he's just a product of the Raiders' poor form, really. I think for Origin, he'll lift completely.
He actually played. And, he played really well against the Knights 2 weeks ago. He was the best player on the field, pretty much, until he got subbed, and then the Knights got back into the game. But he played quite poorly last week. So he's a bit of a yo-yo, but I agree. There is a lot of value in him in Origin. Who's the other prop, sorry?
Kate Snowden.
Yeah, the debutante. Hooker.
I've got Michael Ennis. I don't know what the go is with his injury, but I think he'll be the best person for the job.
compose yourself, Woz. Second row.
This is a thing we've got over Queensland. Not to say that they don't have a great second row, but if you've got Watmo, Bird and Gallen there,
yep.
Amazing.
Now, question for you, and you are around the traps. What's the deal with Nathan Hindmarsh? Is he being stamped that he won't play Origin again? I know that he wants to.
To be honest, I'm not quite sure. I think they just sort of see him as maybe, I don't want to say it in a derogatory way, but a bit too old for it.
Hmm.
But I don't think he is, personally. Obviously, he just puts in so much work every week still, so.
Yeah, I always find it hard. I mean, I'll give everybody the tip now. When my team comes out, he'll be the first player I pick in the side, to be perfectly honest. But I think you are right. There are a lot of options there for New South Wales in the back row. It's just a matter of when we obviously put the real selectors hat on, what they decide the best mix is. Because I think there's no doubt Watmo, Bird and Gallen, there's some value there. But I think there's also some negatives in the way they play. Now, the bench.
Well, obviously still up in the air with Kurt Gidley's injury, but I do have him at number 14
yep.
as the utility. And the rest of my bench is Luke Douglas, who was a really surprise omission for me from the country squad.
Completely agree. He's a great player.
Yeah. Keith Galloway, I think, has been playing really well for the Tigers, and Tim Manor as well. You know, Parramatta haven't been travelling well, but he tries so hard.
It's interesting.
And so he's been really good.
Three props on the bench.
Yep.
So you're expecting Watmo, Bird and Gallen to play 80 minutes, or
definitely.
Maybe cool. Gidley comes on and plays lock, possibly?
Well, I mean, that's the other value of them as well, that 80-minute players.
Indeed. Now, the big question, Maria, coming out of that side, which I am impressed by, except for at least one selection, is can that team beat Queensland in this year's series?
No.
So not even your team that you have selected could beat them?
No, that's the short answer. Oh, there's just too much working against them. Darren Lockyer, last series, two games in Queensland. You know, the Queensland team is pretty much the Australian team. They're amazing, you know. And until some of them start dropping off and retiring and stuff like that, I don't see New South Wales doing anything there. But it is part of a rebuilding phase, and hopefully we can at least win one game.
It would be nice to win two, to be honest. So there's your team, everybody. You can grab Maria's side. It'll be on a ticker down the bottom of the video on Saturday, or actually coming out on Mother's Day, the video. But yeah, I hope you enjoy that. And Maria, pleasure talking to you again. Now, everybody can grab Maria's work in a Big League, the Round 9 preview this week, as well as the test program for the Anzac Test.
Sure can. Thanks for that, and I'll talk to you next week.
No worries. Thanks, Maria.
Thanks a lot.
I was a marine biologist.
Not the footy show.
Sure.
Matter of Steve Turner goes through the middle. Look who! Benny Barber! 7 games, 7 tries, and it just keeps getting better.
So, everybody, Andy Raymond from Fox Sports is back on the show, episode 59. Andy, how are you this fine afternoon, mate?
Have you rung round again in your short on guests, so you give old faithful a call?
No, I say, you know, you get saved for all the good additions, mate.
Oh, love it. How are you?
Oh, very, very well. There's an Anzac test and there's a City Country game coming up on the weekend. Exciting, but maybe not as exciting as the days Chris Sandow takes his paycheck to get cashed at the bank this weekend.
Yeah, he's good for a loan to Sandow this week. But just point one, isn't it astonishing? We're into the rep season already.
Oh.
I mean, that is just amazing.
We're a third of the way through the regular season. Every team has played 8 games, and they're a third of the way through. So, I mean, we all can't wait for it to begin, but now it's sort of like it's just slowly slipping away.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's an exciting time of year. It's a good time of year for the fans, most importantly. Like, it's wonderful for the players and good on them. But for us, it's a great time of year because it provides and provokes debate on who should be in, who shouldn't be in, why they should or why they shouldn't be in. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is. It's always really good debate when you look at Kangaroos, the Kiwis, city, country. There's always a couple of shocks. You sort of start focusing on Origin, and there's some great barroom debate.
Absolutely. I think they'll stick hard off. Start off with the Anzac Test Friday night. Australia, a couple of smoky selections here. I made the point earlier to Maria, but you know. Jarrell Yaye, they said he was going to get picked in the papers, and they definitely had the old tip out properly, didn't they?
Isn't it amazing? You looked at the papers late last week, especially over the weekend.
Yeah.
And there's leaks everywhere because the journos were absolutely spot on with what they were saying. With Jarrell, I guess, would he be there if Darius was fit? Would he be there if Jared wasn't suspended? I think this kid, with what he's shown so far, has got rep star all over him. I just think the way he carries himself, he's a confident, he's a big, strong young unit. I don't think he'll be overawed by it. I think he'll step up to it. And he was always going to be a rep player, but whether 2011 is a little earlier than most people thought, there's probably an argument for that, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think that a couple of years ago people said, watch out for this kid, and I'd been waiting to see the real stand up, and I think he really has in the start of this season. He has been, in our NRL Tweet Player of the Year awards, he's been getting votes, and when a winger gets votes, you know he's playing well.
Yeah, and when a winger gets votes, you know they're playing real well. I mean, there's the old joke about wingers are blokes that hang around with football, but this young bloke has had an impact with his mate Justin Hodges there, and I reckon good on him. I think it's a good story. And I think he's handled himself well this week with the media and the scrutiny and the pressure and the limelight that goes with it.
I totally agree. There's a couple of selections that, I guess, raised an eyebrow in terms of players getting their rep careers back on track. And the big one really is Ben Cray. Couldn't get a run for New South Wales after a certain point last year. And it seemed to be on the bit of the scrap heap. He had a great end of the season last year with the Dragons and has been sold to start this year. But for mine, he was a surprising pick, especially over Ashley Harrison.
You know what? I don't reckon Benny Cray's form at club level has changed 10%, good or bad, in the last couple of years. He got brushed from the Origin side. It might not be politically correct, but he got brushed from the Origin side because he put the car in reverse when the stink started and the tough stuff started. And he copped an absolute gobful off fans and experts alike. Ben Cray's selection, does it say Tim Sheens likes him in this arena, but will he be in State of Origin? A test match and 3 weeks later, no, sorry, we're not going to pick you in this arena. Is Ricky Stewart, who's big on standing up and manning up, is Ricky Stewart going to pick Ben Cray?
It's a big question mark because I know there are a couple of players that may have been considered had they not been injured for this weekend. But, clearly Tim Sheens wanted a left edge back rower, and that's why he got picked. But good luck to him. If he's done well enough to get back in the test team, you can't begrudge him that. The other selection that I thought would have been very interesting to see whether Cooper Cronk stayed in the team had Kurt Gidley been fit. Do you think Cronk would have held that spot?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I really do. That's in no disrespect to Kurt, but I think Kurt would have been captain and six in the countryside.
Yeah,
along with Jared Mullen in the halves. That's just personal opinion, of course.
No, I do agree with you, and I think the Gidley injury in particular from New South Wales perspective certainly again opened up that chance for Jamie Sowell.
Yep, and I'm one of the few. I don't know which way general consensus is at the moment. I think Jamie deserves his spot in the countryside. The young bloke's mounting a hell of a case for a blue jersey. Whether you like him or whether you don't, And I can see how he rubs some people the wrong way. I can see it. But geez, he's mounting a pretty compelling case.
Yeah, I think his big test is Friday night. He needs to stand up and be a shining light in this game to really push that selection case for mine.
He needs to muscle up a little bit. We know what he can do. You know, he's built freakish plays and he's great and he's consistent kicking game. He needs to take the ball to the line and take it to the line in and amongst some of the big blokes.
Yep.
Be prepared to wake up in the morning with a couple of bruises.
Absolutely. Speaking of bruises, the Kiwis have picked another big forward pack for this clash. Good to see Fui Fui get a chance back in the Test Arena.
That's a good side, isn't it? I'm just looking at the squad here on your website, actually. Geez, there's some good footballers here.
Yep.
And real Test match footballers, uncompromising,
yeah,
tight lads. You mentioned Fui. You know, Greg Eastwood in the squad, whether he plays or not, but he's underdone, but he's uncompromising, as is Sam McKendry and Simon Mannering and Sam Rapier and Jeremy Smith. These are guys that aren't going to poll Dally M votes at the end of the year, but they're guys with no BS about them, and they'll do their job. They won't take a backward step, as the old cliche goes. And they allow, the Freaks, the Isaac Lukes, the Benji Marshalls, they allow them to do their thing.
It's funny you mentioned...
They just hold their own in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that the no-nonsense approach. I mean, even the back three for the New Zealanders, Lance O'Hire, Matt Duffy and Jason Nightingale, again, they get the job done.
Mate, they're not as flashy as our back three, not in a million years. But they're low-mistake footballers. They've got a good work rate in regards to assisting. From deep kicks, they will take the first three shots every time from a big kick, allowing the forwards to get back and try and, you know, get a little bit of forward momentum in the middle of the park late in the set and give Benji a good kick.
Final point on the Anzac Test. Jamal Idris gets a run on the bench. We've spoken about whether Australian selection equals New South Wales selection, but you know, a big game from him here, I think, really will secure a spot for him in the New South Wales side.
Well, where does it secure a spot for him in the New South Wales side? Just look, he's got to be playing. He's playing back row as a replacement in the Australian side because Inglis and Hodges are going to see the game out. Morris and Yao-Yu are going to see the game out. He's there, you know, in case an outside back gets hurt. But he's going to be playing back row.
It's funny. I actually think that this New South Wales, I mean, I know that he's a bit of a shock in the Australian side, but I actually think they're going to take a punt on him. They may have watched what, I know Queensland have probably copied to the Wales in years before, but, you know, they took a punt on Folau, they took a punt on guys like that. I think I've got a feeling that Ricky Stewart will take a punt on one player, and I think it'll be Jamal Idris.
And have Idris and Gaznier as your centres?
I think there's a massive chance in that. I just have a feeling that Josh Morris, yeah. Michael Jennings, they may not get the run. And I know he's a generally a right centre, but I can just see New South Wales trying to go with, you know, we're going to try and fight fire with fire. And Idris is that kind of guy. It's important that he gets a run to a degree in this test match. And I think another reason why he's probably there is Tim Sheen's big on the cover of the outside backs.
Exactly right. I tell you, I'll toss one up for you. You know, I'm big on just tossing up nonsense theories. But If you've got two centres that are going all right for New South Wales, whoever they may be, is Jamal Idris, if he goes well in the test match, is he the first man picked on the bench for New South Wales, who again can fill in wide should there be an injury, but you can use him capably a little tighter in the back row if there's no injuries.
It's funny, if that happens, then it really depends on Kurt Gidley's health, because if Kurt Gidley's healthy, I think he gets that bench spot. And Ennis or Farrell will be the hooker. But if Gidley's not fit, then I think definitely a spot opens up on the bench for an Idris type.
Here's one. I don't think Ennis and Farrell will be in the side.
You reckon Dean Young is locked and loaded?
Yep, absolutely.
I will counter that with just this one point. As per usual, when we get to City Country stages, players become suddenly, we find out that they're all hurt on a Sunday night rather than a Friday. Dean Young has been said that he can't train, basically, before he plays a game. Do you think that'll count against him?
He is being babied through the week, each and every week, by the Dragons to ensure they actually get him on the field. I think workload was a part of his non-selection in Sydney Country.
Yep.
And I think it is a calculated move and not just a let's leave him out. I think it's a calculated move to keep him as fresh as humanly possible.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. I guess my point is more that if you're picking him as your number nine and going into an Origin game one, you really need him running as many drills as possible, don't you, with the halves and the 5'8" and the fullback?
Yeah, you do. I think they've got, the New South Wales hierarchy, you've got enough faith in getting him through the week and still being able to form a decent combination.
Yep.
Interesting to know, Ricky Stewart was down at Dragons training just in the last week or so, I think, and having a good look at the Dragons players. I think he was having a good look at and a good chat with Dean Young, also a good look and a chat with Jamie Soward. Now, if Soward is elevated to Blues number six and Dean Young is named at hooker, well, there's part of your equation in regards to communication and getting everything right. There's part of the equation already done. That's one thing Ricky is not even going to have to worry about.
Yeah, it is a very good point. And then I guess the only counter to that is they really would need to pick Ben Hornby so the communication keeps going.
Yeah, Ben has he's ruled himself out of rep footy.
Yeah.
So I think Mitchell Pearce is in the leadership group. Oh, I don't know if it's actually called a leadership group. Is it a core group that Ricky Stewart has been communicating with over the summer months and over that camp that they had? So I've still got no doubt that Mitchell will be the seven, despite the fact he's probably not playing his best footy, and he's not playing in a successful footy side at the moment. But I think he'll be at seven, and smart young kid, good young kid, and I don't think he would have any issues in establishing a pretty good understanding with whoever's inside or outside in quick time.
So there you go, everybody. Andy Raymond wants Dean Young as his hooker and Mitchell Pearce.
Oh, hang on. I don't know if I want Dean Young.
You just think that's what they'll pick?
As my hooker. But I think that's the way they're going to go. Isn't it amazing? There's a massive difference between the side we would pick and even your favourite side. Like, if you ask someone, who would your 17 be, let them rattle off their 17 and then ask them, is that actually the side you'd pick, or is that your favourite side?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we're...
difference in those two as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing on Not the Footy Show this weekend. We're filming, Nick and I getting together, and we're putting together the team that we would pick to beat Queensland. Because there's no point trying to predict, as far as I'm concerned, what the selectors are going to do. They're going to go the route they're going to go. But I think it's a little bit more interesting just saying, well, who's the team you want to have? I mean, at the end of the day, if you had the choice and you just try and bring down Queensland after five long years of... oh, been terrible. Who would you want? Because, I mean, do you have any ideas on the side that you would just love to have there?
I'm a thinker, so my mind changes every week. sometimes, take fullback, for example. I've been adamant that Jared Haynes should be put there and kept there for the next 5 years. Just same with Mitchell Pearce at seven. If they are the best options moving forward, put them in and leave them. But then you look at some of the things Josh Dugan's doing, you think, oh, geez, I could put Hayne on the wing and not lose a lot. So mine changes weekly. Mine, there's a big difference in mine, too, between the side that I would actually pick, but, sort of my favourite side.
Yeah, it's a lovely debate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a good
one. Okay, now, we're going to get you to have a bit of a tip of obviously this weekend's footy. And when we've done that, I just want to ask you a question. I've got an idea for what round nine should be potentially next year. But we'll go through with your tips for round number nine and the rep games. So we've got Country Origin, City Origin. Who do you want?
City.
country.
Then we've got Australia versus New Zealand.
Australia by a few.
Okay, whichever team Brisbane and Melbourne put out on the weekend, are you going to take a wild stab at who's actually going to win?
Oh, honestly, how would you know? Are the coaches going to run with these footy sides, or is it just an absolute toss-up?
My best guess is that Lockyer doesn't play, Hodges doesn't play, Hannett's probably doesn't play as well, then you probably don't have Cameron Smith or Billy Slater play, but I think Kronk definitely will. So that's my best guess at what they end up doing.
Yeah, I think Craig Bellamy's plan may have well changed with the inclusion of Ryan Hinchcliffe into the countryside. I think had Hinchcliffe not been playing, he would have 100% rested Cameron Smith and put Hinchie at hooker and added another bit of muscle on the bench. But now with both of them playing on Friday night, are you almost forced to play Cameron and Ryan on the Saturday and give them 40 minutes each?
That's not a bad point. I guess that tips the scales back in Melbourne's favour, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would have to go Brisbane, but I do so without any great confidence.
That's a saying we love on this show, so it's welcome. You're welcome to use it. Titans up against the Warriors.
Yeah, Titans.
Okay, then on Sunday, again, we've got the Dragons and Cowboys.
There's just a lot of blokes backing up, isn't there?
Yep.
A lot of blokes backing up. I think it comes down to one thing and one thing only. Potentially, if Jonathan Thurston backs up. If Jonathan Thurston backs up, the Cowboys are in this up to their necks. If he doesn't back up, the Dragons could put 40 on him.
Yeah.
Throw me down for the Dragons.
Okay, indeed. And then on Monday night, can the Canberra Raiders get another point this season? Will it happen against Manly?
I don't think it's going to happen at Brookvale Oval. I really don't. And I more than anyone, am scratching my head about what the hell has gone wrong with this Canberra outfit. I've had a little bit to do with them. I've hosted their last couple of presentation nights, and they are a really good, respectful young group of guys. And David Ferner, in a very short time, has impressed me no end. And I've got to spend a bit of time with them training, talking footy, and just observing.
Yep.
And he is a genius as far as what he knows about the game and what he's trying to do. It's just, for whatever reason, it is not working. And I've got no idea why, but, you know, if you're going to put a couple of the hard-earned on, you'd be silly to not put it on the Eagles, wouldn't you?
Indeed. So that would leave us with the question I have for you. I know you're involved with, obviously, Fox Sports on the weekends, and you guys, you know, that runs your winter stable, really.
Yep.
The question everybody's sort of asking is too much football played during the middle of the rep season, whatever? We've got four games of rugby league this weekend. There's how many on Fox Sports? Just the three, actually. So you've got three of the four games?
Yes, we do.
Everybody complains about players backing up. I guess the question I've got to you is there any hope? I mean, I know you're somewhat tied into what Fox does, but just from a fan perspective, if possible, if we had played the Anzac Test on the Friday night, we played City Country on the Saturday night, and on Sunday we had a Turner Cup All-Stars game that involved, say, Phil Gould taking over one of the sides, Peter Sterling the other, or something like that, that just gave all the players that chance to take a deep breath. Like, I know the Brett players would be playing, but at least it would be a weekend off after the game, and we just sort of say, okay, let's celebrate this next tier, which is Toyota Cup with an All-Stars game or something. And I would imagine there'd be some, I mean, within the new bargaining agreement, obviously, but you guys could possibly telecast both the Anzac Test and the City Country live, just some sort of, I don't know, compensation to each other just to try and give these players a week off.
Yeah, look, with the volume of money that television puts into the game, there's got to be a compromise somewhere.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer everything else should stop this weekend. I think it's madness that there's four club games. I'd love to see the next tier highlighted, being Toyota Cup with an All-Stars game or something like that. I'll take it one further.
Yep.
And for the betterment of the game and to do it in both states, New South Wales Cup and Queensland Cup.
Yep.
Which don't draw headlines, which don't draw big crowds, but play some good footy, and there's some familiar faces, and there's some up-and-comers. Pick a ground, any ground in Sydney, pick a ground, any ground in Brisbane, and have a full day of New South Wales Cup.
Yeah.
With games back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Have all the NRL players there signing stuff for fans, doing stuff for sponsors, interacting with, you know, the people that come out, and open the gates, nothing to get in, whether it's all done for charity or whatever it is, and have a carnival out at Homebush. I think, and even the main event of the day can be the All-Stars game between, you know, the two Toyota Cup sides. But you've got a full day of footy. You've got a couple of hundred NRL stars out there doing their thing. You've got a charity component. And you're doing something a little bit different, but you're also evening the playing field in club footy. And we just start the season a week or two earlier.
Well, Andy Roman, that's why we get you on this show, for ideas like that, mate. I hope that, and if there are any challenges you've got, mate, you push it, because that is a great idea.
Yes, something a little bit different. My missus doesn't listen to me, so no one else is, so I'll just keep on tossing them up, and maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Andy Roman, thanks for your time, mate, and yeah, good luck. Are you involved just on the Monday game this week?
No, I've got Brisbane Storm on Saturday.
Ah, well, everybody tune into that. Hopefully you'll be able to recognise some of the players, like Shay Mullen and Josh Hunt.
There's a little bit of homework this week, isn't there?
There is. Kurt Baptiste, you know, good luck. I hope all the players back up just for your sake.
Yeah, correct.
All right, thanks, champ.
See you, guys.
Not the footy show. Sure.
It feels like aliens poking at my body.
So, everybody, Matty Duncan is back on the phone once again for Not the Footy Show. Matty, how are you?
I'm very good, Waz. What about yourself?
Mate, doing well. Had a busy day today recording many segments for the podcast, but you know this is my highlight.
I know. You tell me secretly, Waz. You've just given away the secret now. All the other boys are going to be disappointed.
And Maria, of course. Now, we've got round 8 in review to kick off, and we'll start with one game, then we might go to a bit more of a topical game after that. But the first one we'll start with is Broncos Bulldogs on Friday night. I tipped the Broncos and they won. What's doing?
I don't know. I was worried you were going to be the jinx, Waz, but not even you can stop this Broncos juggernaut.
It's funny everyone is saying that to me again this year, but they were very quiet last year.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you hit a bit of form last year, Waz.
Form is temporary, class is permanent. Well, in my case, you know, dud is permanent, really. Matty, you had Ben Hannon as your man of the match. So did I. He had a bit of a stormer, didn't he?
Didn't he ever? He'd come out during the week and said he was going to let his form do the talking, and oh, Jesus, that's as good as performance I've seen him play for the Broncos, including his first stint here. It was an absolute stormer of a game.
And the Broncos ended up 20 points to 12 victors. Darren Lockyer pulling the strings as always. And I've got to give credit to Ben Barber. I thought, you know, I know you gave the point to Jared Beale, but I thought Ben Barber, you know, he kept the Bulldogs alive in that match.
Oh, most certainly. And look, every time he touched the ball, you know, I held my breath as a Broncos fan that he was going to do something special. He produced three or four big plays in the game. I was going to give him the point. I just thought Beale, while not as flashy as Barber, I just thought he was probably the more consistent over the 80 minutes. Barber came up with two key errors, which I thought, yeah, I'll swing the point to young Gerard Beale.
Yes, and interestingly enough, Gerard Beale's performance in that match may have got him into the Anzac Day squad for New Zealand. So, you know, fair enough judge there, Matt.
Yeah, no, it was well deserved. It looks like he's not going to get a run in the test, obviously, but no, that's a good result that he's in the framework. So all the Broncos fullbacks seem to be Kiwis. Anyway, Hoffman, of course,
is
going to play for the Kiwis as well. So.
And 7 wins in a row for the Broncos. Now, the other game, this is the topical match. Chris Sandow inspired the South Sydney Rabbitohs to a 31 points to 12 win over Cronulla. Cronulla up 12-0, and then Sandow's show began. Evidently, that performance earned him, I don't know, an extra $100,000 on his contract today.
I am shaking. I've checked the date 3 times to make sure it's not April Fool's Day. I can't believe that figure that's been declared that Parramatta have signed him for. Look, he played his, no doubt, probably his best game in the NRL against the Sharks, but the key word there is it was against the Sharks.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I'm absolutely shocked.
Yeah, it's a, we've said about it already in the show, but Russell Crowe tweeted $550,000 a season to go to Parramatta. I would have understood if it was a three-year deal at $500,000 total.
Yep.
But, yeah, the money being bandied around is ridiculous. Before we get off that particular, go into the game itself, I just want to ask you a question. If he's on $550,000, even give or take $100,000, all right, how many other players do you think in the NRL are on that much amount of money, that much money this season?
Oh, well, it's hard to tell, but you'd have to say, based on that, and, you know, if they're sticking to the salary cap, you've got to say there's at least, you know, 15 to 16 other players around that mark.
I just had a quick think about it then. To be honest, I'd be surprised if one of them wasn't his new teammate, Jarryd Hayne.
Yep.
Thurston, probably more than likely. Benji Marshall's a massive chance of having a good contract as well, but it's just, it's stunning money for a player that has really had one good month of football.
No, that's it, and can play, can put in a shocker too. How I judge a good player is how bad their bad games are,
yep.
And Chrissy Sandow's bad games are howlers. So that'd be my concern as a Parramatta fan.
Big loss for the Rabbitohs in this match. Hot in the news of Sam Burgess out for pretty much the whole season. They lost Roy Asatasi to a wrist injury, who was just getting back into career form, and he's busted his wrist. He's out for 3 to 6 or 3 to 4 months. It's tragic stuff for the Bunnies.
Yeah, and particularly Asatasi, like you said, he's gone through that. You wouldn't call it a slump because he hasn't been going awful, but just not at that form that he, you know, that golden period when he was, you know, was with the Bulldogs there and was really just starting to get back to that type of form. And yeah, very cruel for the Bunny fans.
Speaking of other players getting back to form, he didn't take out any points in the Player of the Year, but Scott Prince, a little bit better for the Titans. They got across the line 24-13 over the Roosters. But the big story in this match was Preston Campbell back at fullback and doing what he does best, which is not defend in the middle of the ruck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Again, they weren't super impressive. The Titans, I think it was more of the Roosters, fairly ordinary. But Princey looking a bit better, and Campbell at the back definitely looked more at home.
The Roosters led actually by a point with about 12 or 13 minutes left. Really should have put this away. But young David Mead, first try of the season. Congratulations to him. And if you actually note where he scored it, he actually got to go infield inside the attacking half to get the ball.
He wouldn't have known where that was normally, playing in a Scotty Prince side.
The other match on a Saturday night saw the Storm 42, the Knights 12. Willing early on, the Knights, but yeah, the Storm, their class just shone through and they really ran away with this, didn't they?
Yeah, I say it every week, typical Storm performance, just they do the early grind at the start of the game, and it was just a matter of the class coming through. You know, Cameron Smith, just absolutely awesome again, and he never looks like he's, you know, he looks like he's in second gear at the most times, you know, like he just does it so easy, he's got so much time. Yeah, he's a great player to watch.
And the big injury news of this match is Kurt Gidley hurt his shoulder quite seriously. The news is that he requires some surgery, but he's putting it off in an attempt to play in Origin 1. If he's going to come off the bench and play as a hooker, if he's got a busted shoulder, he should be really taking the surgery and coming back maybe for Game 3 if that's possible. But it's a bit of a waste of time if you can't defend. The Cowboys 22 over Manly 20. Now, there's a bit of controversy out of this game, but as I pointed out in the roundup on Monday, the Cowboys were up by 8 points at the time. It wasn't like that try got the Manly into the lead or even a tie. And can you take us through what happened in that incident, Matt?
Yeah, well, it was I was watching it at the Hamilton Hotel in Brisbane with the sand down, and I you know, watching the game, I thought the ball was a knock on. So, but Desi Hasler and Jamie Lyon explained it best, that, you know, they feel that it was Lyon was running back towards his own goal line, so he feels that he knocked it back. It did look like a knock forward, but probably when you slow it down, it probably was a knock back. But like you said, they were 8 behind at the time, and they did score another try right at the death. So it wasn't like it was the try that got disallowed that cost them the game.
It's interesting that the aspect of that decision is, if that happens in the middle of the field by a front rower, it's called knock-on. It happens just in the run-of-the-mill play. But because it was in a try-scoring play, it gets called play on, which is interesting. They called play on. This is where the whole video referrals, and this is why I think Manly were blowing up. If a referee calls play on, you'd like to think that decision would stand if they go upstairs. And we've discussed this a number of times on the show this year. My frustration, I guess, is that, you know, as I said before, that decision is a knock-on 9 times out of 10 in the middle of the field by a referee. They always call, if it lands in front of them, they're going to call knock-on. It. Sometimes it lands clearly behind them, they call a knock-on. So I thought Manly a little bit precious about the circumstances of the knock-on. He was facing forward towards the opposition's try line. I just think that at the end of the day, they probably got lucky that it didn't get called a knock-on first up.
Yeah, exactly. It could have easily been called a knock-on. You know, that's Manly do love a Wednesday because they're Manly.
They do. Matty Bowen is carving people up. Those knees are obviously holding up beautifully. He's just fantastic to watch once again.
They were tipped as a team to watch at the start of the year too, as I might add, in your season preview by a good judge.
Well, he said it, everybody. I got to play the playoffs tune.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Now, the Warriors 26, Panthers 18 on Sunday football. Again, the Panthers, like last week, had a bit of a crack, had some field position in the first half. And then the second half, the Warriors with 2 tries to Kevin Locke pulled away and got the Biscuits 26 points to 18.
Yeah, just the Warriors, you know, it was a bit of a slow start to the season for the New Zealand team, but hitting their straps, credit to Penrith. I was a bit worried that Warriors might have put the cleaners through them, and at one stage in the second half, it looked like New Zealand were going to run away with it, but... Yeah, Penrith, I think they're going to battle for the rest of the season after that Elliott news. But Warriors ticking along nicely there.
Indeed. Now, the Raiders and the Tigers played on Sunday, but then the other game was the Dragons and the Eels.
Yes.
You don't want to go back to the other match?
You don't. I'm happy to skip it. I don't like to put you through it, Waz. I know it must be tough for the Raiders man at the moment.
Oh, mate, look, 49 points to 12. And the truth of the matter is, the difference between the two teams' attacking mindsets is evident on the scoreboard. Canberra had plenty of possession at different times of the match, but just showed nothing in attack. And I've been critical of David Ferner's game plan pretty much since he took over. And there is nothing there that says to me that they are trying anything else for what we see. And I've said it again, the fact remains that if you make errors and you give away penalties under a grinding style, you're going to get walloped because there is no hope in the team that you can actually turn anything on and score some points.
No, that's right. That's right. And, you know, I thought the Raiders, this was their week. I thought they would bounce back, but, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there, Waz. I feel that they were a team that promised so much at the start of the year as well. It's disappointing to see.
Good to see the Josh Miller starting to Sean Fenson tactics paying off dividends as well. Got to give Robbie Farah credit. That was his best game of the season by quite a distance, and it was the kind of performance that says to me that, you know, maybe that groin isn't giving as much grief as we've been led to believe.
Yeah, no, he had an absolute ripper, and the groin didn't seem to cause him any problems at all. But, you know, from what I understand, those groin injuries can be up and down throughout the season. Within a game, you can just take a bad step, and it can flare up pretty badly. So good luck with the groin injury there, Robbie.
Yeah, I've actually suffered that in cricket, and yeah, you can pretty much, as long as you don't train, you're okay on the weekends, and it's a matter of just not doing anything silly while you're actually playing, and you can get through it, but then you can't move for the next 3 days. The Dragons, 30 points to nil winners over the Eels. Those Eels, I tell you what, they had possession at different stages, but they didn't have Jarryd Hayne, and they looked like they weren't going to create any points at all.
No, never, ever look likely. And you know, against a defensive unit like St. George, you know, even if they did look likely, they weren't going to bust through. You know, St. George are a tough nut to crack at the best of times. But when the Eels were offering up what they did, they were, you know, they were lucky they didn't end up minus points. They attacked that badly.
The big story of the game was Jamie Soward stepping up, admittedly, against the Parramatta Eels, but he played very well, and you've got to give him credit. Mark Gazinger as well with some early ball look fantastic. But I think really the story here isn't so much the Dragons performance. It's that there are some players playing for the Eels that, you know, I know they've spent big money on Chris Sando, but they obviously are looking to clear a bit of waste off their roster at the moment. And a couple of players that I just don't know what they offer them. And I don't mean this in a harsh way. It's just as what I see in the field. What Joel Reddy is doing in a first-grade team is beyond me. And poor old Daniel Mortimer, I know he got a massive, massive rap from Andrew Johns before he played a first-grade game, and he had that run to the finals in 2009, but is there anything positive that kid brings to a full team right now?
Not at the moment, now, you know, and he strikes me as a kid that, and I've seen so many times over the years, just at no fault of his own, there's so much hype gets behind him. He come into a team that was on such a roll when he come into that team.
Yep.
You know, it's easy to look good at the time. He comes in with the surname, which always brings a lot of pressure. And yeah, I just think maybe it's got to the young kid, and it's going to be hard for him to come back from here.
He just looks overmatched physically. I think that's one of the, I mean, I know he's a smaller guy anyway, but some other players find ways of dealing with it, but it's with the ball in hand that also just worries you. There was, I think in the last 10 minutes of that match, the Eels had a couple of sets on the Dragons' line, and I just didn't see him being capable of producing the right option. It wasn't that he just took the wrong option. There just didn't see any flair in his hands. And I don't mean to be really harsh on a bloke just for the sake of it. This is what I saw on the field, but it's just disappointing.
Oh, yeah, for the sake of the game, you'd love to see a young Mortimer, you know, be the next star. But, he doesn't look likely at all.
I think the biggest strength of his game is support play. And right now, the way those Parramatta sort of edge runners and the centres are going, he's not going to get much chance to follow up in support. Now, the table after round number 8 sees the Dragons and Broncos. Your Broncos doing very well on 14 points. The Storm Cowboys playoffs are on 12 points each, followed by the Seagulls and Bulldogs on 10. There are three teams on 8 points, the Tigers, Knights and Warriors, with the Rabbitohs, Titans and Eagles on 6, followed by the Roosters, Sharks, Panthers on 4, and then the sorry Canberra Raiders, minus 80 differential, only on 2 points after 8 rounds. My question to you before we move off from round number 8 is, can the Raiders still make the finals?
I think so, Woz. I really do. They showed last year they're a team that if they can get some momentum and a roll on, they're a team that can string games together. Look, I've seen it with the Raiders last year and the Broncos at different times. Teams that have been playing awfully, something clicks, the light bulb goes off, and you know they start playing as a unit and can get a roll on. So I wouldn't write them off yet, but that light bulb's got to come on pretty soon.
It does. Speaking of players that are switched on this year in the NRL Tweet Player of the Year Award, Jonathan Thurston's out in front on 35 points after 8 rounds. He's followed by Benji Marshall on 6 points. And really the guy I think is the massive threat to them all is Cameron Smith, who's in 4th spot with 28 points. But the way he's playing, he's going to pick up votes at go-go.
Yeah, just, you know, he's, you know, we mentioned earlier, he's just playing in extreme form at the moment. So, yeah, you know, every time he suits up, he looks good to pick up 8 points.
And for the record, the $550,000 man, Chris Sando, is in 14th spot with 14 points, pretty much from one performance last week.
Well, maybe the Parramatta recruiters had a look at the old NRL tweet votes and just went down and seen who was off contract, and they said, well, he's our man.
Speaking of after any players off contract, I believe 101.5 FM has been running a all-time Moreton Bay region team promotion on your radio show, Sports Fever.
Yeah, it was. We announced it a couple of weeks ago. At the moment, we've been campaigning the different levels of government, not the radio show, but you know, the Caboolture and Redcliffe and Pine Rivers areas, you know, to get some greater sport facilities for the region. And
yep.
You know, through our show, we're always promoting the stars of tomorrow that come through this area. You know, great swimmers have been produced in the Moreton Bay region. You know, Liesl Jones and Kylie Palmer, and you know, a string of gold medalists. But you know, rugby league, it's a really rugby league rich area, and we just wanted to highlight that by naming some of the juniors that have come out of this area. You know, there's through the Redcliffe link, there's been a lot of great players in general come through and play in the Moreton Bay region. You know, of course, Arthur Beats, and you know, come down from Roma and had a couple of years at Redcliffe and then finished at Redcliffe.
Yep.
You know, there's been a stack of good players that have played in the region, but we just wanted to really highlight the players that were, you know, grew up, were either born, grew up, and all played their junior football within the region. And we named a squad of players, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and now we've come up with our final 17 in position.
Now, that will be named on Thursday, the 5th of May, correct?
That's correct, yep.
On Sports Fever, you can check them out on 101.5 FM or www.101.5fm.com.au.
That's the one, you've nailed it.
Now, there's a couple of names. I had a look at the list that you sent me of the nominations. The big name, there's a couple of big names that have come from that region. Petro Sidnesiva, one of my favourite players growing up, Bob Lidner, who was a great footballer. Peter Jackson, good to see, you know, and get another possible recognition here. The late Peter Jackson, who was a fine, sort of, very, I don't know if the word's right, but he was a gentle playmaker. He just,
that's a good way to describe him.
He just found a way to pop up when he needed to, and seemed to, he was again one of those players that had that time to do what he needed to do. A great player for the Raiders, Broncos, and North as well. Everyone forgets he had a bit of a go with them. But I'm looking at the, may have seen the leak of the team that got picked, but fullback seems to be a bit of a contentious issue over there at Sports Fever.
Yeah, we were very strong forward pack coming out of the Moreton Bay region, but if you're a winger or a fullback, we were struggling a bit. We will give an exclusive to the podcast listeners here that our fullback name was Trent Clayton. Now, while his NRL career was probably a bit of light on, as a junior, he's probably one of the biggest boom juniors to come out of the area. Was an Australian schoolboy and you know, played Queensland under-19s. He did go on to win. I did think he won a Footy Show Falcon of the Year one year as well.
Well, there you go. That's all you need, really, isn't it?
That's it.
Now, can you tell me anything about Ken Day? Now, I was looking over the list, and as I said, I was looking at the players, and I've come up with David Stagg and Dane Carlaw, Michael Crocker, a few other players in the back row as my selections. But Ken Day, what can you tell me about him?
Yeah, Kenny Day was a fellow from Caboolture. His family still hail from Caboolture. He started his career at Brisbane West, here in Brisbane, obviously.
Yep.
And then headed down to Manly, and then back in the when he played in the 50s and 60s, North Queensland had a very strong comp within the Foley Shield as well, and he headed up to Townsville for a while. And he's actually picked to play from Australia from Townsville at the time.
Wow.
And he went on to play 9 tests. So, from all reports, a very hard-hitting second rower. And once Kenny Day attacked you, you knew you'd certainly been tackled and left many of the opposition with a jersey full of broken ribs.
So, everyone, you can check out the final team. I'm sure it'll go up on your website, won't it?
It will be on the website.
Okay, so if you can't, I'll tune in on Thursday morning from 8 a.m., correct?
That's it, from 8 a.m. on Thursday.
Oh, so who else you got on the show this week?
On the show, I won't reveal name but one of the players named in the team will be having a bit of a chat too. One of the never played any NRL, but for all the BRL fans out there, they'll certainly know who he is. So, but I won't give that away.
I've got an idea looking at the team. I'm not going to give it away.
No, that's it. No, you'll keep it under your hat. And we're also talking with the mighty Queensland Firebirds in the netball, undefeated. We're talking to their injured captain, Lauren Nurse, as well.
Okay.
So, action-packed show.
Indeed. Now, speaking of action-packed shows, not the footy show, we'll be filming our New South Wales selection show on Saturday. And we've been inviting people on Facebook, Twitter and the like to submit their New South Wales 17-man squad. Now, as a Queenslander, how much do you care?
No, at all.
Will you be sending a team in, though, of the team that you would pick?
Who's decided they're willing to play for New South Wales? I don't know.
Oh, Jamie Lyon and Matt Cooper, keen as mustard.
Oh, they're keen. Yeah, they want to play.
Yeah, Laurie Daly's rung them up about 17 times, got the ear, come on, boys. And no, they're not interested whatsoever. The question I got for you is, I've been thinking about that Queensland side. Do you think there is going to be one surprise selection? It looks like Yao Yee might get on the wing, Ben Hanna on the bench. Does that leave any open spots? Because that's Yao Yee for Tonga and Hanna for Costigan. Do you think there'll be any other changes?
I can't see so. I actually find it interesting that the Australian selectors haven't gone on for Yao Yee. Probably pushed the Maroon selector's hand. I think if Yao Yao hadn't been selected for Australia, I think Queensland might have gone with Tonga on the wing. So Tonga, Inglis, and Hodges and Boyd on the other wing.
So the big question will be whether Darius Boyd's fit enough. Do you think they'll go to Tonga definitely if Boyd's not healthy?
I think almost certainly.
So this is why we don't do a Queensland show, Matt, because you're boring. You just picked the same team from last year. Loyalty thing, what's going on?
Yeah, we should give some other players a go. But, it's funny, in recent years, you talk about your city and country, and Queensland, obviously, we always make a joke of New South Wales bashing each other. But one of the reasons Queensland is, in recent years, haven't had a city and country contest is because there wasn't the depth of players. But, running through the pool of Queensland players these days, a Queensland city country would be a pretty entertaining game, actually.
Exactly. And that sort of leads me to my next question. I was going to ask you how much of a stock you guys take into the city country. I mean, obviously, it's a bash fest to a degree, but do you have any interest in just seeing if any particular player that you might, I'll use the word fear, might get a chance in New South Wales side?
Oh, look, as a football fan, I enjoy watching any game of rugby league, but as a origin form guy, I take no notice.
Okay, the next question is, you mentioned that it'd be interesting to see if Queensland had a city-country version going. I brought this up in the podcast earlier with Annie Raymond. Anzac test on Friday, city-country, New South Wales version, Queensland version on Saturday, and Toyota Cup All-Star game on Sunday, and no NRL matches next year in round 9. Could you get behind that?
Oh, look, yeah, as a Broncos fan, I'd push for any NRL weekend after a rep game. I just think it depletes. Look at Saturday night's game, which could have been, possibly the game of the season today.
Yeah.
The Storm versus Broncos. Now, the Broncos have said, look, they're not going to back their players up. Don't be surprised if, a few of those guys do back up. But, it's taken away what should have been a great spectacle to basically a reserve grade lineup the Broncos will put out. I reckon that's a great idea, Watt.
Now, finally on, before we get to the tips for round number 9, interesting tweet from you this week. I had a visit of your Twitter page, which is at Mr. Peninsula. Is it underscore Mr. Peninsula or just Mr. Peninsula?
At Mr. Peninsula.
Yes, and interesting comment about Andrew McCullough. Who is this Tommy Butterfield you said is a better player than Andrew McCullough?
I've got massive ups on Tommy Butterfield. Parramatta should have been spending their money on Tommy Butterfield rather than Chris Lando. He's a young hooker, actually come through that 2008 Broncos under-20 side. He shared the hooking duties with McCullough. He actually set up the try in the semi-final versus the Warriors to get the Broncos in the GF. I've got no doubt, the best hooker in Australia, not playing in the NRL. He's very sharp. He defends well. He's a really exciting player. He's of Papua New Guinean heritage. He has played a couple of test matches for Papua New Guinea. He played for the Australian tertiary side last year. And, for mine, McCullough, there hasn't been an improvement from McCullough that I like to see in a young player. He's still at, for mine, the level he was when he first came into first grade. There hasn't been that improvement. Very slow service out of dummy half. And he's got two or three major clangers in his game every time he plays. I think he needs a stint in the Queensland Cup for his own confidence.
Now, does that mean that, now it's going to the games in round 4, Kurt Baptiste, is it? Is he a hooker?
He is a hooker, and there's big raps on Baptiste. He's the under-20s hooker at the moment. Only a very, I've got few concerns over his size. He has built up a little bit in the off-season. Look, he's very exciting, and, being in the under-20s team probably does deserve his crack over Tommy Butterfield. But, I'd have Tommy, I'd have Baptiste and Tommy over McCullough.
Okay, quick question on Butterfield. Is he signed to a deal with the Broncos?
No.
Okay, there you go. Scouts, if you listen to the show, check out Tommy Butterfield. Who's he play for again?
He plays for Mighty Redcliffe Dolphins.
There's a shock and a half. Broncos versus Storm on Saturday. We'll do the club games, then we'll get to the rep games. Broncos, Storm, who do you like?
I think the Storm will rest the majority of their players. I'd like to, you know, some of those young blokes that the Broncos have named, you know, I think you've tweeted about it, how many times the baby Broncos cliche will be rolled out in the next couple of days. They've proven before, those young blokes, you know, they're willing to play for each other. I like how the Broncos are playing at the moment. I think they can beat the Storm.
Okay, Titans and Warriors at Skill.
Yeah, Titans did improve last week, but I thought the Warriors were, from a betting perspective, nearly the bet of the weekend. I know there's a lot backing up, obviously, because of the test match, but I still got a big question mark over the Titans. I don't think they offer a lot.
It's funny, actually, the Warriors only have Lance O'Hire, Simon Mannering, Ben Matalino, and Sam Rapira backing up.
There you go. They're even beat it. You know, the more you put on, the more you get back.
Okay, so Warriors for you. Dragons and Cowboys on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'll stick with the Cowboys. Obviously, St. George are playing some good football, but, you know, Thurston, Bowen, Payne combination is something that I think could test the St. George defence, and you know, I'll go with the Cowboys there.
And Monday night, the Seagulls host the Raiders.
I don't want to miss the Raiders win. I really think they're going to win one soon, but I don't think this is going to be it. Maybe. Who have they got the following week, Wolf?
We've got the bye.
The bye?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, to be honest. But we play the bye twice in about 3 weeks, so I reckon we'll get 2 wins then.
You know, how you're playing, you're not keen to beat the bye, Wolf, I don't think.
So, Manly for you. Now, Friday night, Australia, New Zealand?
Aussies. They just, you know, New Zealand's got a horrible record in this mid-year test. I really like the look of the Australian side, a lot of Queensland as well. I like the tinge of maroon in that green and gold side. So, yeah, I think the Aussies are special, and I think they'll win comfortably.
Yeah, it's fantastic, all these Queenslanders. Country origin, city origin, if you cared.
Hang on, I'll just get the coin out. Heads is country.
Hey, country for you. All right, mate. Well, as we always say, it's the plan is to speak for a very short time. And there's half an hour. So, everybody, you can check out Matt on 101.5 FM up there in the Moreton Bay region of Queensland. And once again, it's been a pleasure, Matthew.
As always, was.
You get the feeling we're thinking the same thing.
Not the footy show.
Now, we need to come up with a couple of errors. And that happens with young kids.
So, Dave Chapman, not alongside me in the studio tonight, but he is on the phone looking after his family. And he's made time for us tonight on the footy show, episode 59. Dave, how are you?
Mate, how are you?
Mate, doing well. Now, we've got a massive show, and I don't know where I'm going to plug you into it, but he's here right now, everybody, wherever you got to on the podcast.
Put me right in the middle.
Right in the middle, okay. Mate, we're going to kick off with a bit of Fantasy League talk.
Yep.
Phase one of Not the Footy Show's Fantasy League is run and won,
mm-hmm.
And you might be able to tell us who won phase one.
It was Maria Fialis with the Slowpokes.
The Slowpokes have carved us up 208 points in... 8 rounds of rugby league, which is a pretty impressive effort. You're a good mathematician, Dave.
Yep.
What's that per week?
Around about that.
It's 25 or so, isn't it?
No, a bit less than that. 240 divided by 8 is 30. So, no, hang on. Did I just say that right?
I don't know. You're the mathematician. She got 208 points in 8 weeks.
I need the numbers in front of me in order to be a good mathematician. I can't do it in ways.
Well, everybody, if you have that skill, you can tell us on Twitter... at NRL Tweet, what she scored per week. Now, Triples 13 was second on 197 points, followed by the Stallions, who made a late run with 192. The Tryhards, who led with about a couple of weeks to go. My brother's team, they choked in the end. They did a good St. George Illawarra, and they had finished with 191 points. And Billy Slater is God, 184. Dave, where are Roge Squadron?
I have no idea. They're down the bottom half. We talked about this last week. I didn't think we were going to bring it up again.
44th for you with 131 points. Raucous Curly finished last with 55. Not enough runoff. Our friend Paul, who has given up fantasy games this year, apart from our competition, finished with 108 in 52nd spot. Let me see if I can find the Black Turban, which is Nick's team, 134 in 42nd spot.
Oh,
yeah, St. Lanane Happy Dragons, who led the way after one round, finished in 37th spot. Where are my boys? I am Glenn Stewart. No. Tullamong Magpies, which was Matt Duncan's side. 167 points. And there we are, the Dixie Ice Creams with 174 points in ninth position. Yeah. So I've done all right in my own comp.
Not bad.
Yes, so you can enter round two, or phase two, which is NRL rounds 10 to 18. Now it incorporates Origin football. And what does that mean for people's point scores, Dave?
It means nothing. It happens exactly the same.
No, it means double. Good to see you remembered our conversation from last week.
That's right. Yes, of course. I knew that.
So you want to be picking a couple of Origin players in your tables. A guy like Jonathan Thurston's going to be pretty valuable because every time he kicks a goal for Queensland, it won't be just worth 2 points. It'll be worth
4 points.
Hey, so you can do the math, mate. You're doing fantastically well.
Does he kick over Cameron Smith?
He does kick. He kicks over Cameron Smith.
Okay.
So you probably want to... And the worst thing about picking these Queenslanders, New South Wales players who are going to be involved in Origin is that you will not have them for those club games. So while you might get the double up for the Origin performances, they won't be playing in the club games the weekend before, and in some cases the weekend after Origin. So you got to run that fine line.
There's a bit of a strategy there, I think.
So you can enter at wdnicholson.com, and the link is at the top of the page. It says Fantasy League entry form. It's very hard to miss. Is there any players you were going to try and target in phase two, Dave?
Yeah, Barber's my man.
Yeah, you mentioned him last week. Anybody else?
Pardon?
Anybody else? You mentioned him last week.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Tolman.
Ooh, Aiden.
Tolman. Yeah, I reckon he's been going great guns.
Indeed. It's a shame that it's just tries and goals, not hit-ups and tackles. Now, important things. State of Origin, we're picking the team on Saturday. You were scheduled to join us, but work's come up, so you can't be there with us. But you will be providing your team for us to read on the show.
Yep.
Can you give us a bit of a hint on any surprising selections that you would take into battle for the Blues versus Maroons this year?
No, I'm going to go pretty much run of the mill. I don't think there'll be anyone that surprises. I mean, I
remember, Dave, it's the team that you would pick. It's not the team that they would pick.
Yeah, but the team that I would pick isn't going to be too different from who they would pick. I mean, I'm going to go Soward, but then, I've got a theory in my head. One thing that I have been thinking about is maybe doing pick as many Dragons as you can to get, because the biggest problem with the New South Wales side is that it's a whole heap of people that hardly ever play with each other, and they find it hard to get the unification, in that 1 week.
Yep.
So
you're advocating just the whole Dragon side?
No. But all of the Dragons players that have been put up for, like they're saying that they might pick Young and they might pick Soward and all the rest of it. And then I think, well, if you're going to have Soward and don't know who to pick for halfback, then pick Hornby. Put him in there. At least he knows what he's doing. He says he's retired, but just get him back anyway.
Very good. So, as I think I heard, Dragons for New South Wales. I'm sure that's what I heard.
With a few extras.
Well, they are at the top of the table, as you like to... you sent me a text earlier in the week saying, ha-ha, look at the table. Yeah, that was nice of you, mate.
how are those Penguins doing?
Penguins gone, mate. We wore the jerseys. They got beaten 1-0 in over the next day. It wasn't good.
And how's San Jose doing?
You beat the Red Wings, I think, in the game too.
We're up 2-0.
Oh, there we go. There you go, everybody. Dave is a bandwagon supporter of the utmost. Now, we'll get your tips for round number 9. There's only 4 games on the schedule, but I will be getting your tips for the rep games as well. On Friday night, the Country Origin versus City Origin.
Yeah, Country.
Country Origin. Australia, New Zealand?
Australia.
Okay, this is where it gets tough. Broncos, Storm.
Storm.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Who knows who's going to actually play?
Their worst player, all their representative players haven't been named. Now, I know that there's a good chance that they'll play anyway, but in light of that team that's been named, I reckon you've got to pick Melbourne.
Okay, Titans and Warriors.
I've got to go Warriors. They're playing better than Gold Coast.
Okay, Dragons and Cowboys. I'll just write Dragons.
One Dragons.
And Seagulls up against the Raiders.
And I don't even need to say anything there either.
Canberra. All right.
Oh, hello, Australia.
Yes, Manly, for you. So, we need your special fried rice.
Am I first?
No, you're second. Matt, as we'll just find out in 5 seconds, has picked. All right, everybody, we almost forgot, but Matty Duncan has first choice in special fried rice for round number 9. 4 games to choose from. Who do you like, Matt?
I'd better go with the Warriors, Wallace. I think they are the bet of the weekend.
Okay, well, you are 6 from 8 for the season, alongside Dave and young Nicholas. And I'm on 4. I'm battling away, but this could be a make or break round, given there's only 4 games to choose from.
Whoever picks fourth mightn't get a game they like, but I think I've helped out a few. Warriors probably wouldn't be most people's first pick, but I'll stick with the Kiwis.
So there you go. Matt has taken the Warriors as his special fried rice. Should I just ride in the Dragons for you, mate?
Well, Canberra's playing so badly at the moment, I think I might do Manly.
Woohoo! I might be a chance at the Dragons. I've got last pick. Whew, that's very interesting. So he's avoided the Dragons. I like it.
Yeah, you can't just go to the Dragons all the time. You've got to be a bit adventurous.
Not when you've got 6 from 8 for the year, mate. Anyway, that's your tips for round number 9. Now, Dave, you will be sending us your New South Wales side for us to read on air on Saturday. And, so everybody, make sure you check that out. That'll be on YouTube, and it'll be linked on the website, wdnicholson.com, and I'm sure I'll spam the life out of it on Twitter. So, Dave, you're looking forward to reading that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. On wdnicholson.com, I'm going to get on there and have a good read, and I'll even maybe write an email to WD Nicholson having a bit of a rant and rave about how terrible the selections are.
Sounds good, mate. We won't see you next Wednesday, then.
Why not?
Mate, if you bag us out, we'll just bar you from the show. That's how it works on Not the Footy Show. Dave Chapman.
I'll write in as someone else. I'll say that I'm, Terry Jones from Avalon. I don't know.
What about Stinky Whistle Cheeks, mate?
Yeah, Stinky Whistle Cheeks from Texas. I don't know.
Indeed. This has fallen apart, this interview. Dave Chapman, pleasure, mate.
All right, mate.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go fill my freezer with my own blood.
Selling and eating Dixie ice creams.
Not the Footy Show. So, a special little interview here on Not the Footy Show, episode 59. Nathan Ryan from sportsnewsfirst.com.au has got a bit of a nugget for you, everybody. Nathan, mate, unleash. What's going on?
Well, today, obviously, the news of Chris Sandow joining Parramatta on a 4-year deal has been broken, and exclusively on Sports News First and to Not the Footy Show, I can reveal that they've missed out on another player in Pat Richards, the former West Tigers winger. He's been with Wigan,
wow.
in the AFL for the past 6 years or so, and I can reveal that Michael Maguire's made an approach to him to jump on board next year and return home to Oz, but he's rejected it. And now he's going to stay in Wigan for another 2 years.
Wow, that would have been a beautiful addition, because for Tuli Talanoa's days at South seem to be pretty limited.
100%. Yeah, there's no secret that Talanoa has struggled in recent weeks, which has seen him dropped, of course, for James Roberts, who's doing wonders, but it surely couldn't hurt to have an experienced winger there to help out. But it won't be Pat Richards, unfortunately.
There's another rumour going around that Thomas Luluai may also be in Maguire's sights. What can you tell us about that?
I'm not too sure about that one. It's been floating around over the past couple of weeks, I think. Rugby League Week broke that a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
So we'll have to keep our eyes posted on that one. But there's still a lot of mail around Brett Finch, and I guess with Sandow announcing that he'll leave the club today, it only sort of firms that mail that Brett Finch may be returning to the NRL.
It's interesting that the Finch name comes up. I've been a fan of him pretty much since he came into first grade. There was always an element that he was just a footballer.
Yeah,
he wasn't unbelievably skilled or anything like that. He was just one of those guys that competed and had the necessary requirements to get you through as a half or a 5'8". No Chris Sandow, and I've said it with Maria earlier, but the fact is, unless he takes the Bunnies to the grand final this year, they really haven't lost much, because 6 weeks ago everyone was saying that Sandow was the problem at South.
Yeah, that's right. I think I personally found it pretty odd that they've signed up John Sutton to a new deal. I think that Sandow and Sutton as a combination have always struggled, so it'll be interesting from South Sydney's point of view that when they do get a new halfback to the club next year, just how the combination of the new guy and Sutton get together, because I really don't think that Sandow is the problem. I think as a unit, I spoke to Sutton a few weeks ago, and he said that he was struggling to get his combinations together on that left edge with the likes of Dave Taylor and Greg Inglis. So it'll be interesting to see with a new half there whether they're all able to get the combinations together. Because individually, I mean, we saw it the other week with Chris Sandow's impressive performance where he literally won the game for the Rabbitohs against Cronulla. I think he scored 2 solo tries, kicked a ton of goals, and in the end, his own points tally outweighed that of Cronulla. So individually, he's a class player, so I guess it works in the same respect whether he can fit into Parramatta's way of play and whether they can get some combinations going as well.
It's funny with the Sutton aspect. I'm a big fan of him as a player, and particularly his potential Because you see it, we've seen it the last couple of years. He's played 3 or 4 weeks where you've just gone, wow, at what he can do. That left edge, I often wonder whether, you know, sometimes teams load up a certain edge of the field. And to me, I don't know, just from my perspective, sometimes that's a negative because the ball player who's, in the case of South, for example, they're both, John Sutton's best asset, as far as I'm concerned, is his running game.
100%.
He's got Dave Taylor who's outside him and he's got Greg Inglis outside him.
That's right.
Now, he's got to weigh up every time he gets the ball, do I run and do my best thing? Do I pass to Dave Taylor or do I pass to Greg Inglis? Yeah. And you can see there was an error the other night against the Sharks where they were on the left edge, they got the pass wide to Sutton, he had Inglis out the back, he had Dave Taylor short.
Yep.
He just hesitated half a second, and in that hesitation, he ended up passing to Dave Taylor, but when the guy was too close to him and the play broke down, you just wonder, you know, is there any value in them just going, Dave Taylor, go the other side of the field so they can just feed Inglis as much ball as possible. And I'm a big believer that John Sutton, it's funny how he's actually regressed a little bit as Sandow's improved. And I think that a lot of that comes down to this fixed side of the field situation with halves. I mean, growing up, you watch the great teams of the 90s and whatnot. Their halves went all over the field. Now it's just this regimented, you've got to play with your left edge all the time. You've got to play on your right. I don't understand it because if you watch Sandow's performances the last few weeks, he's got better as he's roamed around the park a bit.
Yeah, no. I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, playmakers playing on certain sides, and as I wrote a couple of weeks ago when I spoke to Sutton, you know, he said that he wants to try to get, you know, the likes of Greg Inglis and Dave Taylor the ball, because, you know, when you have such potent strike weapons, you know, out there on the field, you want to use them as much as you can, but that's really affected his game. And I think if you look at the quality teams, you look at the West Tigers, for instance, you look at Brisbane and Melbourne, you always seem to have your playmakers moving around the field. And, you know, when you've got the 6 and 7 on the same side, it really, I guess, heightens your attack.
So, yeah, Alan Tung came out and said it in the press conference on Sunday. He said, we just were stretched left-right by the Tigers' attack. He said, you know, we couldn't keep up with the way that they were moving the ball. And yeah, it's pretty obvious that some teams, you know, they are willing to play attacking football. And South's one of those sides. I think their injuries up front, though, are obviously massive with the news that Sam Burgess is out for pretty much the whole season. Is there any other signing news you can give us a heads up on? Bo Champion, for example?
Mate, I wrote on Monday that Bo Champion is extremely close to joining the Gold Coast Titans. I had a chat. There's a bit of mail going around on Twitter, a few rumours that Champion has been linked to the Bulldogs and the Sharks. I would bank that he won't go to Cronulla. All of my info is saying that even though there has been an approach, it's not an option that's on the cards. I heard that he'd been linked from a few different parties to the Bulldogs. I spoke to one of their officials earlier in the week, and they said that negotiations were very preliminary.
Okay.
I spoke to Bo on the Monday. He said that he'd be making an announcement within the next week. So it doesn't take a genius to put two and two together. If negotiations are preliminary somewhere else, you know, they've all but got a deal done at the Gold Coast, you would have to think that next week it'll be announced that Bo Champion will be the newest member of the Titans squad.
And then today, Anthony Lafranchi announced he's going to the UK Super League with St Helens for 2 years. So that opens up some more cap space. And really, looking at their roster, you would imagine this is the last year for Preston Campbell. It's hard to see them being able to afford him, but you know, with all the players coming in, I think it's time that I think we might see the end of Preston Campbell's tenure in the NRL.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that you know, you'll find that the Jamal Idris move to the Titans has a lot to do with Preston, you know, likely retiring at the end of the year, as far as the Indigenous work in the community is concerned. Yeah, Preston's been a great servant to the game. I think everybody tends to forget that he's been around a long time and achieved so much for somebody, you know, his stature. He's, you know, once upon a time was the Daly M medal winner, and playing it at halfback for Cronulla at that stage. So he's been around a while and definitely done a lot.
Okay, last question before we let you go. Are you a city boy or a country boy?
I'm a country boy, mate. Actually threw it through. I was with the team on Monday and wish them all the best. I think they're the goods, mate. I think they're gonna do a number on the city boys.
I gotta admit the loss of Michael Ennis is a bit of a loss for the country. I mean, you look at the best players on the field, and this is, you know, just looking at the rosters. Jared Hayne and Robbie Farah, I've got massive opinions on both of them.
Yeah.
you know, as the spine of the City side, it's not too bad. I mean, I know Sauer's there and Mullins there and Dugan's there, and they're all quality players. But I don't know. For mine, this is a really situation. This is where we hope it's a selection trial, because I think if Jarryd Hayne and Robbie Farah have huge games and get City across the line, we could be seeing the New South Wales fullback and hooker.
Yeah, potentially. I agree with you that it's a huge blow, you know, losing Michael Ennis, and a few of us were talking this morning at South Sydney, is Ryan Hinchcliffe the next best hooker that's available to country? That's a whole other, you know, kettle of fish altogether. But I was really looking forward to the Ennis v Farah clash.
Yep.
I think that's something that all rugby league fans really look forward to, as, you know, with the Dugan and Hayne clash.
Absolutely.
I think where it'll be won for country is the halves. I really like Mullen and Soward as a group, and, you know, from my point of view, you know, it's been made public knowledge that Mitchell Pearce is, you know, the future of New South Wales State of Origin, but I think the game is really there for, you know, Mitchell to play himself out of a jersey, and, you know, if Mullen and Soward can get a good game together, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 7-6 for New South Wales this year.
It's interesting. The Soward Mullen combination would result in two left-footed kickers.
Yeah.
And especially if Robbie Farah gets the job at hooker, left-foot central, which, I mean, having one or two in the side's good, but three, who knows if that's going to work. Just on Jamie Soward, I thought he played excellent, obviously, on the weekend against Parramatta, but I think this is a massive game for him. He's really got to back up that performance in this match, because everyone sort of, they never questioned whether he can play football with the Dragons sort of on top. And this is a game where we really want to, I personally want to see him really assert himself amongst a different group of players, because he's not going to play with the Dragons, so to speak, in New South Wales. He's going to have to adapt to the style of other players. And if he, I don't know, I've just got concerns. If he doesn't step up and isn't a really shining light in this match, then I've still got my question marks over Origin for him.
If he doesn't step up, he doesn't deserve to be there. I know that he's received a lot of publicity over the last couple of weeks, and not a lot of it being positive, but you seem to silence the critics, so let's hope that he can back it up again.
That's it. As I said, just want to see him back it up. That's really the important thing here. Last point before we go, Australia and New Zealand on Friday night. Do you think the Kiwis can get all the little trophies in their own cabinet?
I think that the Kiwis' time has run out. I think that Australia will go over the points pretty comfortably.
Excellent. Well, Nathan Ryan from sportsnewsfirst.com.au, thanks for your time. Thanks for the scoops, mate. And we will talk to you again on Not the Footy Show.
Bye.
Not the Footy Show.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce?
What a chup.
A chup?
No, a top.
A tip. A tip for what, Brew?
The Footy Brew.
He's back. What's happening, was it?
Mate, you've enjoyed your hour and 15 minutes on the sideline?
Had a good little kip.
Yes, the interchange is working well. You're back here to talk about round number 9 of the NRL and, of course, the two rep games. We've covered them fairly well, so I'll get your tips from those games. Country versus City?
I have to go country. I'm a country man, born and bred. Not quite bred, but at least born.
Well, see, I'm in that tough little spot where my place, as you know, is right on the edge of Sydney, and, you know, people call it the Sticks quite often. So I must admit, I've grown up feeling like a country boy in that regard.
I think you can claim it.
So I'm going to claim it, even though I must admit, I give the City boys a big chance in this game. I don't think country is cut and dried as people believe, but I will stick with country and be boring. But I really want to see Jarryd Hayne and Robbie Farah have big games for City. So both of us going with country. Then his test match, Australia-New Zealand. Is there any question Australia win this?
No way. I think, yeah, I'm actually feeling more confident in an Australia-New Zealand fixture than I have in previous matches. I think the Aussies are going to be just too good this time. Look at our lineup. It's just magical.
It's pretty handy. I'm with you. I think Australia beat the Kiwis. So on to round number 9 of the 2011 Premiership. Which Brisbane Broncos team will line up against which Melbourne Storm team?
Oh, wow. Well, I think I might, for this game in particular, have to reserve the right to be able to change the old pick depending on who does front up. Dean Lockyer, he is the key for me in this match. If he does not play, Brisbane, as they proved last year, are a shambles.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And as we've spoken before, I think Cronk and Slater probably pretty likely to back up. We don't know about Cam Smith, but Cronk and Slater back up with all the players that the Broncos are missing.
I can't see the Broncos putting up a fight without Lockyer, so I think he is the linchpin.
So what's the tip at the moment? And you do have the right to change your tip by Saturday.
That's it. At the moment, I don't think Lockyer is going to play, so I'm going to have to. I'm going to go to Storm.
Yes, I think I'll be joining you. The likelihood, as you say, of Kronk, Slater and Smith backing up is a little bit higher than, say, Hannon, Lockyer and Hodges backing up for the Broncos. Seven-match winning streak or not, I just think the Storm, if they have those stars around, should be too good. Now, the Titans play the Warriors on Sunday afternoon back at the test venue, Skilled Park.
Didn't I just ruin a perfect round last week by not backing the Titans? Have they got some form? I don't know. It is a bit of a fortress for them, and it's a fair trek for the old Warriors to go. A couple of their players might be tired, if not rested.
There's only... There's like four.
Warriors.
There's like four. I said that to Matt earlier. The Warriors are going to go into this game fairly fresh.
Yeah, still, though, I don't... How many Titans are missing?
One. Mark Minicello, and that's no real big deal.
Yeah, quite. Now, I think on that basis and the fact that they are at home, and I don't see the Warriors playing, I'm not that confident in them that I can back them away from home yet, I'm going to lock in the Titans tentatively.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Warriors. The home ground advantage is a factor, but I like the way the Warriors have played the last couple of weeks, and the Titans, no Nathan Friend, it's a loss.
It is a big loss, isn't it? I mean, the work that man does is very underrated, I think.
Dragons up against the Cowboys at Cogra or Okie Dokie Stadium, whatever we call it these days. The Dragons are about 10,000 players involved in rep duties, but it is on Friday night, so they get the full day rest before heading to Cogra. The Cowboys, their two big backups are Jonathan Thurston and Matthew Scott. Who do you like here?
I like the Dragons. At first, I was a little bit scared because we have quite a few players out, but... very crafty. It's so dodgy. I don't rate when guys do this. Oh no, I'm injured for the rep jersey. But I'll play on the weekend the next day. come on. Who are we trying to fool?
Yes, well put. Nick.
The Gaz man, he will be fresh, and he has been sensational in the last few weeks.
He has. He's getting clean ball. It's always a key with a center, isn't it?
He's even made it into my fantasy team, which is something that, as much as I love him, he's not normally a fantasy player, but he's just points a go-go of late. I'm going to lock in the Dragons. I think the fact that Thurston might be a little bit tired and will probably look to dust him up a couple of times could hurt the Cowboys. I think the Dragons are too strong.
And then finally, Monday night, Seagulls and Raiders at Brookie.
Ooh, well, Raiders have a couple of their enforcers that will be backing up and have to be tired if they're going to play. Given their form has been, I'm sorry, was it to say this, but it has been pretty average.
I'll use a word for you, deplorable.
Well, I was trying to be nice. But I think I have to go to the Seagulls in this one too.
I'm actually going Canberra.
Oh, wow, he's going the upset. So look, I'm pretty tempted because the Seagulls will be... They have a few representative players too, but I can't honestly tip the Raiders and have the Seagulls win. I'd kick myself.
The three key... This is for me. The three key Seagulls backing up. Kieran Foran, who might not even play Friday night with a quad injury.
Yep.
You got Will Hopewade, who's going to play his first rep game. He's backing up, and the other player backing up escapes at the moment, Glenn Stewart, who's been in excellent form for him as well.
Yeah.
They're three big backups, and truth be told, Canberra have Dugan and Thompson playing in the rep game, and that's about it. So,
Leroy Love getting the call up?
Yeah, but he only plays about 20 minutes under Dave Ferner's proper rotation, so it doesn't really matter.
True.
Although I do rate him, don't get me wrong. We've made a big change. Danny Galea is into the football side, mate.
Ooh, yeah, I did see that, actually.
Yeah, who is that, basically? And we've dropped Daniel Vito for Reece Robinson, so figure that out.
I cannot... Vito is one of my favourite players to watch.
It's a bit surprising when you get beaten 49-12 and you sack a winger.
Yes.
So hopefully...
Winger was the problem, yes.
Yes, clearly, mate. Not the game plan. And the thing is, if he actually got past the ball, maybe he would actually be able to do something. The Raiders, look, it's just a gut feel. And at the end of the day, if you start 1-7 to start the season, the moment you go 1-8, 1-9, I think you are done for the year. So I just think Canberra, something's going to click. I just got a feeling something's going to click. The Monday Night Hoodoo as well works in the Raiders' favour. And Manly, as I said, they showed some signs last week that maybe they're not quite as on top of the game as maybe their record suggests. So I'm going to go with the Canberra Raiders. Now, fried rice. We've had two selections so far. Matt, with his first choice, took the Warriors.
Yep.
Dave, who do you reckon he took?
Dragons?
Wrong.
Oh, don't tell me you tipped the Cowboys.
No.
Oh, it's dead set. I would never speak to him again.
I remember the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago against the Dragons. Seagulls, who? He took the Manly Seagulls to beat the Raiders.
All right, well, am I next?
You're next, mate.
Well, I'm going to have to take, given it the only other game, well, I could tip against one of them. That would be pretty funny, head-to-head special prize.
You could.
I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. Dragons, please.
Oh, the Dragons. That leaves me with, I got the Storm or I got the Raiders, really. Hey. Look, I'm going to back my boys. I'm backing my boys and going the Storm.
Did anyone take the Eagles?
You missed what I said then.
Oh, you're going to take your boys and go to Storm. Yeah, you've got him. Yeah, straight to the game.
Actually, no, I'm going to take Canberra.
Okay, fair
enough. Yeah, so the Raiders for my special fry, look.
So who had the Eagles? Who are you going head-to-head with?
I'm going head-to-head with Dave.
Love it.
Yes.
Love
it. So, although, truth be told, the Seagulls did lose last week, so his theory rings true.
That's it.
So there's special fried rice. As mentioned before, mate, you're 6 from 8 for the season. How is it working?
I have no idea. I must be paying someone.
Well, mate, if people are following your tips and they're putting a bit of money on them, they're cheering because 3 of the 4 tipsters in special fried rice are 6 from 8. That's a pretty decent record.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Pity that when I was in the pick one team last man standing, the old Dragons got dusted up in round 2. But since then, I've done pretty well.
Yeah, that one hurt, didn't it?
Zing.
It did. Okay, well, they're the tips for round number 9, everybody. Now, there is something happening on the weekend, Nick. What could it be?
Well, I think it's been on the news. It's a pretty big deal. The Not the Footy Show will be doing their Origin preview. You know, now, if you haven't heard, where have you been? Like, Asylum, move over, please.
Yeah, get him off the front page. Look, this is the biggest news in Adabadabad.
Pretty much.
You know, we last year, for some reason, YouTube just went bananas for it.
Gangbusters.
We did it nice and early, and I think that's the key with YouTube. You got to get your little video out at least a couple of weeks in advance of the team being named. Now, we will be picking the side that we would pick. Is that right?
That's it. We're not thinking, what are the selectors going to pick, and trying to get it right. We are picking the team that we think would win for New South Wales, which would be a nice change.
It would be a very nice change.
It would be.
It'd be just nice if the selectors happen to watch our video. Now, it'll be up on YouTube by Sunday, so if you're spending time with your mother, perhaps, you know, get her over to the computer, open up YouTube and have a look at our video. It'll be fantastic. So, Nick,
she wants to see the Origin team from the Footy Show Boys as well.
Indeed. So we will be live once again on live to tape, as we like to say here on Not the Footy Show, on Sunday, and then back again next week with the podcast. Now, Nick, as we head out of the show, young eyes, he's sticking strong with the Raiders. Do you have any advice to the young kid? Because his tipping's just gone down the toilet, and you are currently leading our expert panel.
Oh, well, I can't give him any advice to steer away from the Raiders. You've got to pick your team. If that's your team, you've got to stay with them. That's my firm belief. And lucky I'm with the Dragons, because it's pretty easy to say that right now. Let's see how I'm going in a couple of years when we go down in the trough that we're expecting. Mate, I don't know. He must be doing pretty well. I know he doesn't like the Eels. That must be serving him pretty well.
Yeah.
Is there another team that has been hurting him particularly?
It's hard. He always picks the Cowboys, which has helped him. He likes the Rabbitohs.
He likes the.
He likes saying rabbits.
Team right there.
He likes rabbits. He just likes saying rabbits.
What about the Storm? Have you got anything against the Storm?
He remembers from last year when I mentioned that they cheated and he doesn't like picking them.
And I've heard him say that on the pod. He's a wise man.
He is. A man beyond his years.
Perhaps keep tipping the Broncos, keep tipping the Storm. Those guys have been so solid for me. Everyone's waiting on the Broncos to lose, but I just don't see it happening.
Except for this weekend, because you picked Melbourne.
This week when I tipped against them, yes.
All right, Nick, mate, a pleasure as always. And I say it to everybody on this show, but, I mean, it might sound like I'm using a cliche, but, you know, these conversations, how good are they?
On a scale of 1 to good, I'd say good.
Fantastic, mate. We will talk to Nick again next week. And everybody, we will see you on the Not the Footy Show New South Wales Blues special on YouTube. And we'll talk to you next week on Not the Footy Show.
See you later.
Not the Footy Show. Show? That time of week, everybody. Isaac is here to do his tips for round number 9. We've got a couple of rep games this week. Do you know what a rep game is, Isaac?
No.
It's when Australia plays New Zealand in what's called a test match. Does it sound good?
Yes.
And who are you going to go for in that?
Australia.
Yeah, and then we've got the city origin versus country origin. Who do you want to go for in that? City or country? They're playing it down in Albury. You choose whichever one you want.
Country.
Country origin from Eyes. Now, last week you got 5 from 8 to go to 30 from 64 for the year. Not too bad, buddy. But I've got the bad news again. I got 7 from 8, so I've gone past you by 3. Yeah, it's all right. You won't go too badly if you go better this week. Now, there's only 4 games to tip, so let's have a look at those. On Friday, we have the Broncos. Oh, sorry, on Saturday, the Broncos play the Storm up at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Who do you want?
Broncos.
And then on Sunday afternoon, the Titans play the Warriors.
Warriors.
After that, the Dragons host the Cowboys at Wynn Jubilee.
They used
to call this place. They used to call this place Okie Dokie Stadium. It's a pretty cool name, isn't it? So you're picking the Cowboys to beat the Dragons. Ooh. And then on Monday night, we've got Manly Seagulls versus... The Canberra Raiders. Yeah, you can say that a bit louder.
And I'm going to choose Canberra Raiders.
You mean we're going to finally win?
Yeah.
You know we haven't won a game since round one. We beat the Sharks.
I know that.
And you keep picking them. Oh, hello, there's another one.
This is our sister called Boots.
Boots. Boots over there. So, yeah, everybody, Boots. That's Isaac's tips he's taken the Raiders in the last game.
Come on, Canberra Raiders. How about you win again? I'm not getting any younger.
Another footy show.
You've been sleeping over there?